Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's All of It on WNYC. I'm David First, in for Allison Stewart. If you're taking a walk through Brooklyn Bridge Park this week, you'll see a new installation of sculptures and works placed throughout the park as part of an exhibit that officially opens tomorrow called Black Atlantic. Presented by the Public Art Fund and featuring works like a life-sized shell of a boat to iron discs anchored in a patch of grass to an African-inspired sculpture that represents the trans experience, the exhibition is said to be inspired by the connections between Africa, the Americas, and Europe. And here to tell us a little more about the exhibit and the artists featured in it are Hugh Hayden, an artist who co-curated the project, and Dan Palmer, who is an adjunct curator for the Public Art Fund and also serves as co-curator here. Dan and Hugh, welcome to All of It.
Hi, thanks for
having us. Hi, David. Thanks so much for having us.
Dan, this is Hugh.
Oh, so, hello. Hello, Hugh.
Well, you know each voice.
I'll do my best. But Hugh, what was the idea behind this collection?
Having an art exhibition open to the public at a park that's in this maritime setting, you know, that it would be inspired by this sort of adjacency to the Atlantic Ocean, but also a group of artists who are sculptors who are really deeply connected to using materials in their hands to make works that could explore the African diaspora and how heterogeneous it is.
And Dan, tell us about a couple of the works in this exhibit. Walk us along the path here. What do they look like?
Well, there's five artists in the exhibition, and it ranges from Pier 1 at the north part of Brooklyn Bridge Park down to Pier 3. So starting at Pier 1 at the northwest corner and the southwest corner, we have wonderful carved sculptures by Leila Babire, and those are, Leila's originally from Uganda, and those are carved in a rough-hewn way. They're totemic-like sculptures that have been patinaed, burnished to make them black in a way that's burnt and with wax on them. They really are quite striking, and the rough-hewn aspects of them really relates quite beautifully to the skyline of Lower Manhattan and to the Statue of Liberty. And then just south of there, at Pier 2, we have a wonderful piece by Hugh Hayden, who's an incredible sculptor that you'll hear more about. His piece directly from him, I think, would be great. And then nearby, and that's a boat piece, and then just nearby that are 3 6-foot diameter discs in cast metal by Tao Lewis. Those are, they almost have a kind of topographic quality to them. They have five-part symmetry and beautiful patterns on them that relate to the Caribbean and African carved motifs, as well as the form, the disc-like form, relates to crinoids and that five-part symmetry. And then just south from there, a really enigmatic work by Dozy Canoe, who is originally from Texas and now lives in Portugal. And that work is a cast concrete chaise longue sofa that's sitting atop four Texas wire wheels, their chrome rims. And then nearby that is a tank, this sort of vessel that has a black liquid that pulsates to the beat of a human heart. And then immediately south of that is a really stunning work, a very striking work by Kian Williams, that's a full-scale reproduction of the Statue of Freedom that sits atop the U.S. Capitol building, as if it had been transposed and is lying here at Brooklyn Bridge Park as a ruin of empire. That's the title of the piece, Ruin of Empire. And it has an earth covering to it, almost as if it's in a form of decay or translation kind of into the earth. Degradation. It has a sci-fi quality to it as well.
I want to ask you just a little bit more about that piece called Ruins of Empire. This is set in a location where the Statue of Liberty is right behind it. How intentional was that placement?
Oh, that was
very
intentional.
Very.
Yeah, because,
yeah,
you know, the
jump
the,
in. Let me
the as an exhibition space, you know, the park as this outdoor museum you know, that has these amazing sight lines and the Statue of Liberty, you know, Lower Manhattan. So there can be, you know, but the placement of artwork can have a conversation with these sort of things that are permanent fixtures of the skyline. So there's this dialogue of seeing this sort of this statue that's normally on top of the U.S. State Capitol building, sort of the same scale, life-size scale, but sort of in the distance behind it, you can see the Statue of Liberty, which is sort of a sister sculpture to the work.
Well, Hugh, as we were just hearing, go ahead. Dan, did you want to jump in?
No. I was just going to add, just jumping off of what you said, it's fascinating because we were just there with the piece talking about it. And I think a lot of people obviously know the Statue of Liberty as a reference. They might not know the Statue of Freedom from the U.S. Capitol building as much. They might not understand that it's an exact, you know, life-size replica, but that, you know, these two figures, you know, liberty, freedom, that they're really interrelated, and that Keon has made just such a thoughtful piece of thinking about the complexities of those issues at this moment.
Now, Hugh, we were hearing that you're both a featured artist and a curator in this. First of all, what was that experience like for you? And tell us about your piece.
It was interesting, because I'm typically used to being the artist in an exhibition or playing that role. And, you know, as a curator, it's interesting to be in the development and the selection of artists and, you know, formulating an idea of an exhibition and, you know, collaborating with band to realize that the ideas. But at the same time, it's like, you know, an additional four more studio visits. I mean, there's a lot of administrative things or behind things that are different, but, and also as an artist, you know, I sometimes want to step in and give my opinion of what I would do. But what I really love is that each of the artists in this exhibition's work and their sort of their background is so different that, you know, everyone holds a pencil differently. Like, even though, you know, myself as an artist and curator, where I would make recommendations, everyone, you know, sort of the works are so diverse in this exhibition that it really reflects the sort of, you know, this amazing range of Blackness. You know, this is an exhibition of the sort of sculptures of African diaspora, but it's hard to sort of, you know, to say this, there's one sort of work that, you know, or that the work is easy to describe. My piece in the exhibition is a 14 foot long boat, similar to the size of a lifeboat or a dinghy. It's made from oak and cedar. And it's sort of like a clinker style in that the planks on the exterior of the hull are shingled, sort of like a roof. And from a distance, it just looks like a boat. And for me as a sculptor, it was, you know, this is a static sculpture. It doesn't actually move or change. But as the viewer changes, as they like sort of walk closer up to the boat, it transforms that you can see the interior. And on the inside, it almost looks like there's a whale skeleton. That is suddenly
looks amazing.
Oh, thank you very much. And partially in my work, I use a lot of skeletons, but it's not to talk about death, but it's more to talk about this sort of commonality that, you know, for most people, if they saw a human skeleton, they wouldn't know the gender or the race, the age maybe. And so that I'm sort of drawn to skeletons as this thing that is somewhat identityless. And so that, you know, or even this sort of connection to an animal, and that in this case, that it sort of makes it more anthropomorphic, that there's this boat, you know, whether it's something that captured a person or, you know, something that swallowed someone or helped transport someone. It's a vessel, and it's this sort of surreal reimagining of a boat.
Dan, can you talk about... Go ahead.
Oh, but it's also, you know, definitely, you know, in the premise of the show that, and this idea of the Atlantic Ocean and the connection to Africa, that there's obviously, there's can be connections to sort of the transatlantic slave trade, but it can also be many other things. You know, it could be Jonah and the whale. It can be a vessel. It could be a lifeboat, this sort of lifeline. So that, you know, with a lot of my work, there's always like multiple ways to approach it. There's not one sort of like perspective or understanding that sort of it's open-ended.
There's so many stories you can start thinking about when you see that boat there and approach it and look inside it. Now, Dan, just talk about some of the difficulties planning a show like this. Some of these are large structures. And as you mentioned, one of the artists works overseas. What does it take to plan and execute an exhibit like this, especially one that's outside? And we could have some wild weather coming this afternoon. Are all these pieces designed to withstand all the elements?
Yes, absolutely. Everything is very, you know, carefully engineered and secured and is going to be completely safe throughout the entirety of the exhibition. But I'll even just sort of back it up. I think, you know, as a curator and especially, you know, anytime anyone's putting together an exhibition, there are just so many variables and the world is always changing around. And that was part of the great thing about working with Hugh to make this exhibition in the first place is that, you know, I've known Hugh since 2012. He and I have always wanted to find an opportunity to work together, and we wanted to do this big solo exhibition, you know, of his work here. But I think, you know, with the changing landscape over the last few years, Hugh, you know, made this incredible gesture to say, let's expand this. Let's, you know, take this platform and bring other great, you know, young voices into the dialogue to expand this to a group show where so many different voices could address the issues and the opportunities of showing work in a cosmopolitan situation here, you know, on the waterfront of Brooklyn Bridge Park. And then, you know, beyond that, all of the artists were just so responsive to the dialogue of what it means to make work in public space, which is it has to be a lot more durable. It has to withstand rain and wind and potentially people climbing on it and things like that, like you were just alluding to with the weather we're about to get here in New York. But, you know, all of the artists who make work that's very much handmade responded to that dialogue with fabricators or working in a more durable way, just with such great gusto, and they really brought their best to it, and the work feels immensely like it's made from their own hands, but in a way that's now durable enough and able to be shared with the millions of people who will get to come and see it, because it's, you know, outside and right there in the park. They may chance upon it, they may come seeking out these wonderful artists.
Able to be shared, the exhibit Black Atlantic officially opens in Brooklyn Bridge Park tomorrow. Co-curators Hugh Hayden and Dan Palmer, thank you for the preview.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writers Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.